It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for Midnight Munster, where we watch crap so you don't have to. Midnight Munster is a podcast from CinemaFromage.com. I am your host, Casey Criswell. I'll be joined here shortly by my lovely wife, Colleen Criswell. And this week, we have a special guest in the studio with us is Romy from Philadelphia, family friend, and she is going to talk to you about some horror movies as well. The three of us are going to team up on the new indie flick from Shockarama.com, Necroville. Following that, I'm going to be flying solo as I take a look at the other indie release from this week, Blood and Sex Nightmare, about a serial killer lost in a swingers club. Sounds fascinating, doesn't it? So, before we jump into the meat of the show, I'm going to throw some business at you. Again, Midnight Munster is a product of CinemaFromage.com, your one-stop shop for direct-to-video reviews and news. We love to talk about scary movies. We love them cheesier the better. So check out CinemaFromage.com. And also, folks, we would love to hear from you, your thoughts, convictions, convections, anything you want to spit at us. Send it to us in an email. That's CinemaFromage@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from you. We'll even answer back. Also, we've added voicemail. Last week you heard Brother D from Mail Order Zombie call in. And now's your chance to get on the show as well. You can drop us a line anytime you want at 206-339-9459. And don't worry, folks, it's only voicemail, so you don't actually have to talk to me. That makes life a lot easier for everybody. So again, that number is 206-339-9459. You want some up-to-the-minute nonsense from CinemaFromage.com? Follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/CinemaFromage. I'm on there quite a bit because, frankly, it's kind of addicting. Now, one other thing I want to throw in here real quick. Cinema Fromage has a cafe press store going. We're selling some t-shirts and whatnot put together by the lovely Miss Colleen. Check that out. The link is on the website. And feel free to grab some Cinema Fromage coffee mugs. I've got one. It's pretty nifty because I like coffee. And so should you. And finally, folks, we have our first review on iTunes, and it makes us feel warm and fuzzy. So we like those reviews, and any of you that could leave us a review on iTunes and on Podomatic.com, it helps us out greatly, because as people scroll through the shows, that a lot of times if there's no reviews on the show, they'll skip us over. So we would love to ask you for the favor of leaving us a review, whether you like us or not, just because we could always use the help. And we're happy to reciprocate. So be sure to jump out there and leave that for us as well. Our final note of business. I keep saying it's the final one, but I keep fooling you because I'm an asshole like that. Our final episode here, not our final episode, how confusing. Our final note of business is a reminder that we have a DVD giveaway going on CinemaFromage.com. We're giving away a DVD of Doomsday, the unrated version from Neil Marshall. All you have to do to enter is send us an email at cinemafromage@gmail.com by August 16th with the words Doomsday Giveaway in the subject line, and we'll be happy to give you a DVD, because you know what? I already got one. The other extra one's collecting dust. I want to give it to you. Because I like you, because you're nice. So there you have it, folks. We're getting ready to jump in. And our first feature tonight is Necroville. Could have almost been a completely different movie, huh? Our first movie tonight is Necroville. We're going to get into the meat of that as we gang up on it with me and Colleen and Romy all together. And then following that up, I'm flying solo, going mano a mano with you and Blood and Sex Nightmare. So hold on to your butts, because here we go.
You keep saying you got something for me.
You're going to what?
It's a job.
Oh, you're going to get killed.
I am not going to get killed.
What the fuck was that?
Chupacabra. Big one.
What is
that? What got you into this time?
Nothing. It has nothing to do with him.
We're here for the jobs.
Jobs. Joke.
Penny, I'm not making this shit up. And it's a mortal fucking hazard.
One of these.
Clark, that shitty DJ that Penny used to date.
CDJ.
MP3J.
The same.
Yes. You keep lying.
Get me a fresh roll of shit to paper then!
All I see are decapitated mummy heads.
Right. Let's see how King Tut likes the taste of green chili stew.
...2007 brought us a little independent film. According to the liner notes, only cost them almost $10,000. Directed by... directed by Billy Garbarina and Richard Griffin. Written by Billy Garbarina and Adam Jarman Brown. Is 2007's Necroville brought out to you by Pop Cinema and Shakarama Cinema DVD. That's coming out here soon, so here we go, jumping straight into it, starring Billy Garbarina and Adam Jarman Brown, our two writers. It's basically about a small town called Necroville, city that's overrun by zombies, vampires, werewolves, and other monsters. Jack and his best friend Alex find work at Zombie Gone, who are a cleaning crew hired to take out any kind of monstrous infestations. Battling the legions of the undead at work and desperately trying to please Penny, his horrible, selfish girlfriend, at home, Jack's two worlds collide when Penny's ex-boyfriend returns to town as the unholy master of a coven of bloodthirsty vampires.
And a weird goth DJ.
Yes.
Can't leave that out. That was an important subplot.
So here we have it again. Like I said, this is very low budget. As far as, to start us out, though, as far as most low budget movies that we've seen, Colleen and I threw here, it's actually a pretty good movie overall.
Yes, actually wasn't too bad.
The writing was pretty good. There, you could see where a lot of humor was. Granted, it could use a little bit of editing and whatnot, but overall, it's a pretty solid movie for a $10,000 movie. We've seen some that come in for even more than that that were a lot worse.
Yeah, this is one of those diamonds in the rough. There was the one that we saw the night before that was pretty darn awful, and I'm sure cost more. What was it that we Bloody Murder. That was
Bloody
God,
Murder.
God, no.
We watched the other night.
I tried to stay awake through that, and that was hard. But I enjoyed this. This was there are a lot worse ways to spend a couple hours. I thought, okay, this was goofy, but you know, for what it was an expensive movie. You know, it looked like a bunch of friends got together, like, hey, let's go film ourselves.
Now, there was something here on one of the posters that, I'm looking for it on the DVD box, but I'm not seeing it, but it was on one of the posters that made mention that it was kind of a zombie version of Clerks.
Yeah, that's
with
what
the dialogue.
Clerks versus,
but,
Clerks and Ghostbusters.
Busters.
I think it's on the back of the...
Well, what's interesting, though, is that Rami here had actually mentioned that once we started watching the movie last night, that it was a lot like Clerks, because we'd watched Clerks 2 earlier that morning before she'd even seen the posters, so
right.
There's a lot of truth to that. There is the dialogue is a high point of this movie between the two friends, Jack and Alex, played by the two writers. They did a very good job with the dialogue. That's what helped keep it entertaining. They even did a fairly decent job for acting. I mean, granted, they were a little hammy, but you know, that's what it's called for in this type of movie.
Well, they were at their best when they were interacting as, you know, a couple of the guys just like, you know,
when they were
swearing,
friends.
Swearing each other. But yeah, I think during the scenes, like, especially with Penny, it was like, you could almost hear, like, the piper, you know, like the old soap operas in the 1950s. It's like, okay, let's move it right along, guys.
Yeah, now there's some parts in here that did need some editing that got a little bit slow and parts like that. But it's really, the humor in it's very good and did a lot to further on the enjoyment of the movie.
One technical problem that I had was it seemed that their soundtrack was a little loud, and it seemed to, especially at the beginning.
You mean the Foley sounds? Or
not the Foley sounds. The Foley sounds were actually really good. But no, the soundtrack, you could hear the music in the background at the beginning, and it seemed to overpower and overtake the dialogue, I felt.
Yeah, but it had it has a very...
It toned down later on, but...
It has a very good soundtrack, though,
too. The soundtrack was pretty awesome. I was thinking, you know, did they have a CD?
Yeah.
Because I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, they did have some very, very neat music and... And whatnot, so...
Yeah, a lot of psychobilly and whatnot. I think one of them was Zombina and the Skeletones.
Yes.
That was the beginning song, Nobody Likes You When You're Dead?
Yeah.
Like, I want that.
So that was very good parts of it, too. Now, the makeup even was fairly well for a movie that was only $10,000.
Creative use of strawberry jello, yeah.
Yeah. the blood and guts parts were a little overdone, but, like, the zombies and stuff actually look like zombies. We've seen many of these cheapo movies, zombie flicks that... the zombies consist of nothing more than gray face paint.
Right. Well, they did forget to do some of their arms.
Yeah, they did forget to do their hands.
It was just the flesh face hadn't creeped to their hands yet.
I guess it starts at the scalp and moves down.
Pretty much.
And the whole bit with the zombie gun I thought was pretty entertaining with the whole job set up to take these out. It was kind of funny, too, on the cheapness side of it to see that, you know, like their truck, the company truck that they're driving around was, they built their own plywood box to slap on the back the logo on it to make it look like an official work truck. But but it was pretty funny in the way they had the story very detailed out as far as the different aspects of it. There was a lot of little details that they threw in there with, you know, with one of them not being any good with guns and the other one being good at hand-to-hand, so they had specific jobs, you know, that they were... Like when Jack told his girlfriend that he wouldn't be shooting any guns because he'd just be doing hand-to-hand stuff that,
yeah,
and whatnot. There was a lot of little good attention to detail thrown in there.
And like what I also said earlier, that the Foley work was actually really impressive, the sound effects. They really matched up. A lot of times you'll see somebody swing a bat and it won't sound like a bat in these... You know, cheap movies, but
the fight scenes actually weren't too bad either. I mean, all things considered, when I was in college, we did this medieval reenactment. It was called That Medieval Thing. We had choreographed fights, and some of them were really good, and some of them, no, not so much. But I'm like, wow, this could kick butt at whatever That Medieval Thing I did in college. This is at least as good as college trained theater kids. Yes.
definitely.
No, they, they did do a good job with the Foley stuff, and they did match up well. I read somewhere that our main director there, Billy, was Billy Gabarina. Garbarina has done a lot of stuff in martial arts and whatnot. They so that transferred through fairly well. Everything's fairly believable. Even the our master vampire, who was so over-the-top cheesy with his little DJ stuff, was pretty funny in
Everything was over-the-top cheesy. I mean, just the concept of, like, there's a town and people are okay with it that's, like, mostly undead. I mean,
yeah, nobody
knew from the get-out.
Nobody seemed to recognize or care, give one shit about all these zombies that were staggering around all over town.
It was like a crime. It was kind of like, well, you don't go to this part of the city unless you have mace with you. You can't be zombies. I mean, that's what it was kind of like. It was like, you know, parts of South Philly you don't want to go to at night. But they're okay in the day. You know, you get a cheesesteak. Be gone.
Now, there were some jokes in here thrown in that were very localized because these guys are all from Albuquerque, New Mexico. So there were some jokes about Albuquerque that didn't really carry through. But at the same time, that's expected. Just about anybody is going to throw in a couple personal jokes that are going to be over the head. So over our head. So that's is Necroville by... I could never pronounce the guy's name right, by Billy Garbarina and Adam Jarman Brown. Coming out to you soon from Chakaronimus Cinema. I myself I'm going to give this a recommend. I'll give this about a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll give it about a 7 also, because it's one of those fun movies that should be seen. And I can't wait to see more from these guys. I think that they really do have a career ahead of them.
I'd love to see what they would do with a budget. I really would. I mean, I have to say, I was thinking, wow, what would this be like with a budget? Not a lot of strawberry jello. Like, cool.
Well, Billy Garbarina does have a lot of movies, too, that he's both acting and writing and directing. So he's been in many of them, like Gimme Skelter, Wedding Slashers, The Stink of Flesh, which I know Mail Order Zombies thrown some reviews at them for that, so those seem to be fairly popular. So those are definitely worth checking out, too. So there you have it, folks. That's Necroville. That's a definite recommend, especially for a low-budget indie horror. Our second feature for this week is a 2008 indie flick coming from Atomic Cinema and Joseph Kolbeck called Blood and Sex Nightmare. Something unholy is stalking the guests of the Pleasure Mountain Adult Retreat. Local legend states that 40 years ago, a serial killer hung himself in these woods. Today, a sex resort sits on the site, and couples eager to sample a swinging lifestyle and rustic surroundings arrive in droves. Everything goes well and business is booming until one by one the guests begin to disappear. Sounds pretty spooky, right? Unfortunately, it's not. Blood and Sex Magic, I'm sorry, I want to call it Blood and Sex Magic, thanks to the Chili Peppers. Blood Sugar Baby, she has it. Sex Magic, you know what I'm talking about. Blood and Sex Nightmare comes to us from the Bloody Earth films with big ambition as far as cheap and low-budget gore flicks go, and it leaves a lot to be desired. The story is choppy at best, which could be from the editing, but it's somewhat hard to follow. The highlight of the movie would be any of the makeup effects. The blood and gore here, they make an attempt at that, and they do an alright job for what budget they have. And that is pretty much what the movie is showcasing anyways. More so than the plot or the acting, it wants to showcase its blood and guts and how gross they can be. And in that, they excelled. There's a lot of boobs in this one, obviously, for a swinger resort. And there's there are some funny moments with some of the attendees of the resort and their strange little kinks. But there's some of the gore is laughable, especially when the first man who dies gets his rubber penis castrated without hiding the fact. Things like that are good until we get flashes of a very bloody vagina later on in the movie, which then it becomes, why bother? Now, like I said before, the plot of this movie is rather hard to follow. We have a young couple who are dating, and for some reason, the young man who has tried forever in this relationship to get sex, and she won't give it up yet. She is our dutiful virgin. For some reason, he thinks it'd be a good idea to take her to a swingers resort. So they head off, and guess what? She still doesn't want to have sex with him. She has some hang-ups on bad dreams and something to do with Shinto legend. And she gets these visions of a bloody man showing up in her dreams, which trips her out. So, we have that going on. And then in the background, we have our resident serial killer ghost who pops up out of nowhere all over the resort and peeks in on everybody else's goings-on in their little cabins. Now, for a killer, he pretty much rips off any other killer you've already seen. You see him with chainsaws, hatchets, all the standard fare. Nothing much new there. He's got an eyeball hanging out. We get a brief backstory on him towards the end of the movie, which does not explain his looks whatsoever, but, you know, that's not necessarily what they're going for. They just wanted him to look pretty gross and disgusting. There's no... he shows up later to... His kills are the best part of the movie, which, they, even though I say that, those they are somewhat lacking as well in creativity, but they are done well. They are done to where you can see that they put a lot of thought and effort into them with the budget they had. Whereas in Necroville, you've seen them work well with a low budget. For this one, it just doesn't seem to gel quite as well. The movie is in serious need of some editing. Even though it clocks in at a mere 58 minutes long, it felt much longer and felt like a chore to get to the end, which is the biggest problem with this movie, is it feels like you have to work to get through it. The stuff between the kills is not worth watching. There's some rough dialogue with this young girl and her boyfriend who's getting frustrated with her not wanting to have sex, and some other local hooligans get thrown in there, and they're just not interesting in the slightest, which is where the problem is. So, this is a quick one for you guys. That's Blood and Sex Nightmare. Not much to watch here. If you're big on gore, the cheaper the better, then you're going to like this movie. Otherwise, there's not much redeeming to take out of it. So, this one gets a lowly 2 out of 10 on the Cinema Fromage scale, and it's bad enough that I couldn't even get Colleen to watch it with me, so that's why I'm here by myself this week reviewing this one. And you know what? This just does nothing to but reinforce our motto at Cinema Fromage: we watch crap so you don't have to.